This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by BetterHelp. Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her.
And to me, Akua, pronouns she, her, one sexually fluid, demisexual, mental health professional doing some ho shit with her best friend.
Akua, did you practice that in the mirror?
I just made that up right now, girl. I was like,
is she rapping? Is that a freestyle?
Just words that came up.
That was fucking amazing. I'm going to need that to be... That's the one.
I'm really just going to have to like write one of these shits down and then practice it.
I'm just going to send it to you. That was great. On this show, we have two types of episodes. They are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of the show, and one of my rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes, all of the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This episode is an interview episode, and on this episode, we'll be speaking all about escorting, date mates, full service sex work, companionship, and other forms of sex work with our lovely guest, Zuri Love, who is a black, non-binary, goth, nerdy babe and full service sex worker based in LA. We will also be taking a week off after this episode and we'll be returning the week after. A bitch is going on vacation, nigga. I'm dipping
well
out.
Well deserved.
All right, I'm about to head out.
Well deserved. Yes.
I'm the SpongeBob meme. But before we get into our interview with Zuri Love, we have a couple of short segments, and they are...
Bay of the Week.
Where we talk about people who we find attractive.
Ho of the Week.
Where we shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week.
Where we give you some advice on how to take care of yourselves.
And cute date idea of the week.
Where we give you cute date ideas. They're always extremely cute.
And if you guys would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to do so. So to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Up first is Bay of the Week. And whom is your bae?
Hoo child. So I'm gonna need you to pull him up.
Okay.
Right now. My bae of the week is Marquise Vilson. I feel like it's Vilson. There's an accent on that O, but I ain't about that.
I don't know why I went French with it.
And Marquise is he's a trans
fine ass motherfucker. Oh, sorry.
One. He is a trans Afro-Latinx actor. I don't know. Again, I don't know what I'd be doing on Instagram that I just be finding folks. But I know that I'm following him and he's not following me. So
come on, Marquise. Follow Akua back.
He is literally my type. If you just look at him. Just
yeah, I see it.
He's very active on Instagram about things that impact the trans community, both mm-hmm. trans men and trans women. Mm-hmm. And trans non-binary folks. Mm-hmm. He's won the Eric Christian Bazaar Award for his work as a sexual health coordinator. Mm.
Okay.
Received the Octavia St. Laurent Trans Activism Award.
Okay. Sorry. This is me on his Instagram.
You'll see him on... He's had a lot of work on things that you can like recognize him on, like Law & Order SVU. And you know I love me some Law & Order SVU.
That's a fact.
Where he actually played a trans man in the military.
That's why he's wearing this suit here. Yeah. Okay. We love to see it.
But yeah, I just I love how he rides for trans women. Mm-hmm. And I just love perusing his Instagram.
Okay. Click that follow button.
Yes.
It's been clicked. And you can see him in The Kitchen, which is a movie starring Tiffany Haddish and Melissa McCarthy and Handmaid's Tale. What's that woman's name again? Elizabeth Moss. Elizabeth Moth. Moss. Moth. All right. Yeah, you can see him in The Kitchen movie. I'm sorry, The Kitchen. Shout out to him. Hoes of the week.
We have some people who paid some hoes.
Yes.
We have Quest and Rosemary who both upped their pledges.
Hey, shout out on Patreon. Thank you.
Vicky W., Carly, Jason G, who sent us a grip.
Carly also, I believe, became a patron and sent a Patreon grip.
Yeah.
And You love to see it. You love to see all of it, but you particularly love to see it.
When people be showing out. Okay. Yeah. Thank y'all. And Destiny E.
Yeah. Jason G was the one who wrote that really nice thing for Rebecca, right?
Yes. Yeah. Look at Jason. Sent the coin with some lovely messages.
You are all such nice people. We're also going to shout out the folks who came out to this most recent sex trivia. Hey, man, I'm not saying you should get to the next sex trivia, but I'm saying you should get to the next sex trivia.
And because why? Because one, it's lit as fuck. Yes. But two, people are literally traveling the country.
Yeah.
To come to it.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And some folks who did are...
We have Rima and Ash, a.k.a. the Tampa hoes, who came from Florida. They had other business, but was like, we got to make a beeline to Sex Trivia 2. Yeah. Like, what?
Those are the folks who stayed in D.C., right?
Yes.
And then came here for Sex Trivia and then went back to D.C.
We have Notorious Vic, who came from Boston.
Yay! That was awesome.
The Lone Ranger, who came from Jersey. As well as Clit TV, who came from Jersey.
You love to see it. And then we had the two folks who came from Virginia.
Was that not Clit TV? Clit TV came from Jersey.
Nah, these are Virginia. I don't remember. Okay, we might be talking about the same group of people here, but Clit TV may have come from Jersey or Virginia. Sorry. There's a lot of you.
I literally come from different places. So I wouldn't forget that day.
I wrote that too. I wrote. Sorry. I don't know. Whatever. Thank you guys.
Thank y'all for coming out and showing us love at Sex Trivia.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all. Also, people have really been showing the fuck out with the Twitter love lately. So, you know, every once in a while somebody writes like, what podcast should I listen to? Mm-hmm. So somebody recently wrote a post where they're like, any podcast by black women that I should listen to? And people tagged us in it. And I really appreciate the people who tagged us in it who were like, these are not all women, but here's Inner Ho Up. Uprising, like that's really great. Yes. That you're shouting us out and affirming Rob's gender at the same fucking time. And then also, in addition to that, people have just been like engaging the fuck out of us on Twitter lately. So I want to give a shout out to at Danny Nicole at Duly Noted, who is hashtag Akua Hive. I don't know if you knew that. Mm-hmm. He's also very cute.
Mm-hmm.
And gay.
and that's where it's like, damn. I would, but yes, love them anyway.
Yeah, we still love to see it. At Nika Mira EST, at HiQ Persephone, who is also Asha and is also amazing and incredible and has been writing for Inner Ho Uprising for a really long time. At DJ Yellowbone, at Joy Not Joy, at I'm So Lovely, who always fucking rides for us on Twitter, at Tiff Peso, at Anna Spenikopita, at But I'm Vicky, at GG East London, at Not Go Gabby, at Most Dope Dene, at Ambivalent Addis, who is a part of the Ho group, the teacher Ho group,
hey,
who came through a couple of months ago for Sex Trivia, at Lock Goody, at IM_NJS, at Miss X Lita, and many more. Thank you all. We really love the Twitter engagement. That is usually me or Rob who is doing Twitter tings, and we love to talk to you and we love to see the things that you say. And then also we got a very nice Apple Podcast review from Geos from R this week, and they mentioned the Vajankle, our favorite sex toy. So thank you for that. Thank you everyone for all of your support. Now we're going into self-care tip of the week. So I've been talking about calendar and to-do lists a lot for the past couple of months now because I'm really like trying to regulate the fuck out of my life, and it's very important, I think, to build in sleep and vacation time and break time and time to just like go on dates and hang out with your friends into your to-do list, because that should be a priority in your life because it sustains you as a human being, and you should prioritize it in the place where you're prioritizing everything else that you do. So that's something that I do. Like on Saturday, I'll just be like, sleep for mad long.
When I say Samantha has been like making e-bike for everything.
Yeah, I do.
I do
sit out. We're hanging out. Thursday, 8 p.m.
She is scheduling. Which she's not lying about these self-care tips. Yeah. She is scheduling the fuck out of everything. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. All right. Let's go on to our cute date idea of the week this week.
So my cute date idea of the week is to get disposable cameras,
or you can use your phone.
Fine.
Are you a baby boomer? Like, what is your problem?
I just miss
You miss Polaroids? Oh, you miss the disposable cameras?
Yes. Okay. I have such nostalgia attached to those. Yeah, like, yeah. I have photo books of just me and my friends in junior high school with mad pictures that I developed at CVS.
Do they still sell those?
Yes.
Oh, wow. This is really cute then. Yeah. Go on and grab you a disposable.
Get you a disposable camera. Or you can use your phone. The quality's popping. We know. We know. And go around being amateur photographers in your city.
Yeah.
I don't know how I thought I came up with that. I think it was going through my photo book and I was like, oh, niggas used to take photos.
Yeah.
And now it's just selfies on my goddamn phone that I don't ever print out and put nowhere.
It's on the cloud.
And then if I lose my phone, like,
it's on the cloud.
Like, no, because prior to 2015, I don't know if I had another iPhone or an Android, but I don't have photos from between 2010 and 2015. And those are a lot of my child's baby photos. And I don't know where them should go. So it's like, you know, I miss the old days of like just taking a photo and just
plastering it somewhere,
putting it in a book. Just that, the tangibleness of it. So go on a date with your bae, go through the city, stroll around, take photos, not of yourselves, but of different sites.
Mm-hmm. If you're taking pictures of other people, ask for consent.
Mm-hmm. And then explore the differences in what caught your eye and what kind of pictures they took.
Because
what you see and what you may think is noteworthy to photograph, they might not. And then you can talk about that. What was so cute about the Asian couple sitting down? And here I am taking a picture of the goddamn...
the ice cream.
Or the skyline or, you know, whatever. You can really, you know, it can give you an eye. It can give you an insight into... what their interests are, what they value. Maybe they value longevity and couplehood. That's why they thought the Asian people was cute. Or, you know.
Akua, you are an actual dating guru. This is, first of all, you're a fucking college professor, because this is like assignments that I had to do in college.
Ooh.
Yeah. And you weren't on the media track. How do you know this?
I was
not. Who's giving you our secrets? But yeah, this is dope. I would love to do that.
I feel like it would be so... cute.
It would be. This could be like multiple dates too. Like one could be the actual we're taking the pictures, and then one is like, oh, we're developing and reviewing or
and
whatever.
Reviewing them.
Then you could scrapbook it to get this mad shit that you could do with this. This is great.
And it's like you can make a plan to like just walk around and see things, or there can even be like, when I envision this, I envision it in like a festival, like a food festival, because you know I need food, and it's just like
it's a good idea, right?
And colorful, and there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of things to actually want to, you know, remember the memory by and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just gotta do this. I gotta do this myself.
Yeah,
but it just seems so fun and so cute. And it's something, you know, to remember. And if the relationship doesn't work out, you got a lot of shit to burn. And that's cathartic, you know?
I do love to burn a good picture.
I do love to burn good. I like to rip. I like to cut your face out of shit.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Sometimes I spit on it.
There you go.
I'm an interesting person. Okay.
So that is this cute date idea of the week.
Extremely cute.
I have to flash back to last date tip where I said to go take your bae to fuck around with some animals.
Yes.
And then I was on Facebook, because, you know, Facebook be listening. And
it really does. Oh, my God.
They showed me a place for people in New York or in the New York City area. They showed me a place in Long Island that lets you sip coffee and play with cats.
That's really cute.
It's called a Kitten Cadoodle Coffee Cafe.
This is extremely cute.
And I was like, this is perfect. Like, yeah. I get to, it's a coffee date and a cat.
And a kitten date, yeah.
At the same time.
That's mad cute.
In addition to that, they hold weekly events, which include all types of activities with cats.
Aww.
So it's yoga with cats, Zumbas with cats, movie night with your cat.
That's so cute.
In addition to coffee, they offer vegetarian meals, movies, and tea. So
nice.
If that last tip stuck with you, here's a place to go and actually do it.
Cadoodle Coffee Cafe. We love to see it. That's super cool. Nice. Thank you for that, Akua.
No worries.
And now, before we get into the show, we have just a couple of events to plug. Sorry, we have one event to plug, and it is Sex Trivia Sundays October edition, aka Sexy Spooky Season edition. Hey. Yeah, so every month we do an event called Sex Trivia Sundays. It is a pub trivia night, but with sex-related questions. We have prizes for our first and second place winners. We have a lovely sex expert from Babeland. Her name is Nika, and she's super dope and super smart and very gorgeous.
All of it.
Our prizes are sponsored by Babeland. We have very tough questions, but entertaining questions by yours truly. They're also quite funny. We have great music by Rob or Rod. We have lovely interactions by Akua, who's really the spice of the party. She will twerk at any given moment. I was looking at the old clips, and you twerked to Panic at the Disco. You did that.
I did. I saw that, and I said, well, there we go. That's Akua for you. Exactly.
There are chicken nuggets at the place that we hosted at, and
we will pick up things and run with it.
Last edition was West Indian Day edition, because we have the West Indian Day parade here in New York, and that was fucking fun.
That was lit.
And it's all good, man. Yes. So that happens October 6th at Love Story, which is a bar on the border of Bushwick and Ridgewood in New York City. And it's from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And to register to play is free. To show up is free. We do ask that if you want to play, you head over to the link in the description of this episode and register for yourself or your team, just so we know how many materials to bring. And that's about it. We'll see you there.
Yes. Get there early so you can get a seat, because now it's just be...
It'd be standing room only.
It'd be standing room.
Yeah. It's wild out there. Pay a ho. If you love, love, love this show and appreciate the hard work that we do to bring it to you every week, we would so greatly appreciate it if you supported us monetarily and non-monetarily. To support us monetarily, we ask you to visit innerhouseuprising.com and choose the Pay a Ho Once or Pay a Ho Monthly options. Pay a Ho Once redirects you to our PayPal, where you can drop off any one-time donation at any amount that you want, as many times as you want. So that takes you to paypal.me/innerho. It's kind of like we're fuck buddies and we just call each other up when we want to satisfy that itch. If you choose the Pay a Ho Monthly option, you'll be redirected to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/innerhouseuprising. On Patreon, you'll be given the option of setting a monthly recurring donation at any price that you want. And we'll return the favor with some monthly goodies, like we're in a committed relationship and we have some expectations for one another. So if you donate $2 or more a month, you get early and discounted access to Inner Ho Uprising events. And if you donate $5 or more a month, you get, fuck that, a regular Inner Ho Uprising newsletter curated by yours truly. It's fun, it's insightful, it's filled with offbeat stories about sex, love, and dating that you may have missed in the current drudgery of the news cycle. If you're strapped for cash or don't wish to support us monetarily, then there are other ways to help us out. You can leave an Apple Podcast review or a Stitcher review. You can comment on one of our episodes on SoundCloud or CastBox or Himalaya. You can tweet about us and tag us on Twitter or Instagram. You can reply to Twitter threads asking what your favorite podcasts are with our @. You can drop a link to your favorite Inner Ho Uprising episode in your group chat. You can tell your work best friend to give us a listen. Or you can walk down the street rocking some Inner Ho Uprising merchandise, which you can find on innerhouseuprising.com/merchandise. Now, let's get into this motherfucking show. Now we're heading into our only segment for the day, which is called
Fuck It.
It's our topic of the day, and we're speaking with
Zori Love. Yeah. Zori Love, pronouns they, she, is a 24-year-old non-binary queer poly full-service sex worker based in Los Angeles, California. As a self-proclaimed nerd, their hobbies include video games, anime, reading, art, writing, singing, and dance. They enjoy travel and travel all around the country and the world for work.
Welcome, Zori Love.
Hey. Hi.
Thank you so much for being here. You sound like a bundle of joy, by the way.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here. I'm really appreciative.
Let's get into it.
All right. So hopping right in, how did you get into sex work?
I got into sex work when I was 18 and I had to repeat my senior year due to circumstances. and a certain brain disorder that I had that I finally got diagnosed with. So I needed to make some extra cash because I was working at PetSmart at the time. And I was overweight at the time, and I had maintained my weight, but it was really hard on my knees and my back and my neck. And then I had a car accident, so it was really hard for me to, you know, stand up and work and bend and crouch and wrangle dogs day after day. And so I went online, looked up sugar baby stuff, and I discovered Seeking Arrangement, and I signed up. That did not end well. I didn't do well at all on there, so I then switched to Craigslist.
How'd that go?
It was still just as bad, like getting messages like, oh, like, you're a fat pig, like, you know, N-word this, N-word that.
I am so sorry that that happened to you. People are fucking
disgusting.
Disgusting. People are disgusting. Was that also happening on Seeking Arrangements?
Yes.
Ugh.
The men on there have always been scum.
So after Craigslist also was like, okay, this is a disgusting space, where'd you go next?
Well, honestly, I stuck to Craigslist for a while, for a good while. Sometimes occasionally doing car dates.
What are car dates?
Car dates for me were like, you know, going like in a car with a guy and like, you know, making out, like possibly, you know, doing the dirty and, you know, getting a small amount for it, which was fine with me because I just needed extra cash to like feed myself mostly. And then I then transferred onto Tinder. Like, I work my ass off, if I have to be completely honest, when it comes to my work and it comes to my Twitter. I have now like 12,500 followers. I think I said that right. It's taken a lot of engaging and a lot of marketing.
How do you define yourself? Like, I guess outside of the term sex worker, like what kinds of sex work do you engage in? Are you an escort, companion, all of the above?
Yes, I'm an escort companion. I'm also a content creator. I have like a Snapchat. I have OnlyFans. Most of it's solo content, but occasionally I do have partners, but it's nothing lucrative yet.
Cool. But it will be because we foresee bags in your future. So how do folks distinguish for folks who don't know what the difference between, if there is one, an escort and a companion?
So I think the word is the same. It's just a different word for it.
Okay. And what does being either an escort or a companion entail?
They're temporary, like girlfriend, if you want to call it that, like date mate, whatever you want to call it. A couple hours to a day or two or more. If they want that. And I don't mind that either. I'm pretty good at spending time with people and putting my energy with them, especially if I like them.
Okay. Gonna get that into that in a little bit, but can you tell us a little bit about like what the layout of what did you call it? A day date or a date? You said a date mate. What does that look like? Like they pick you up or you arrive and you go on said date and then you go home or...
Well, it honestly depends on the situation, but for the most part, uh-huh. I meet them at, like, say, a restaurant, for the most part, and we have dinner, and then we go and do something fun, like, I went to an arcade once, and it was really fun, because we were eating poutine and drinking and playing arcade games, and that was a 6-hour date.
That sounds like a lovely time.
I am the biggest freaking nerd ever, so it was fabulous. And also, sometimes you don't even go out. You just meet them at their hotel room or their house, and then you just, you know, fuck.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cuss that much. It's just how I am.
Oh, no, please.
Please do.
Please. That's like my second language. Well, this makes me want to kind of get hop around a bit and get into, I guess, the labor of sex work, right? So I feel like this is a societal fucking misrepresentation of sex work, right? But we always, like, you're frequently on Twitter. We always see this kind of bullshit on Twitter where people are like perpetuating this falsehood that sex work isn't legitimate labor and that you're just like lying there getting fucked. But like, even if you are just strictly like, if you're not a date companion or anything like that, if it is just fucking, there's like things that go into that, right? So can you talk to us a little bit about the I guess all kinds of labor, but I guess starting off with like the emotional labor that might go into like being a companion in the first place.
Oh, yes. Emotionally being a companion is exhausting because you have to put on, you do have to put on this persona. For some, it can be really, really tiring because some clients can just be completely just oblivious with how they're supposed to treat you. I will say I'm pretty lucky. I have some pretty good clients, but some of them do like have boundary issues, like texting at 3 o'clock in the morning because they're drunk and they miss me.
And then you're doing that with like multiple people, right? So it's like fostering all of these like and you're legitimately like, even though you're doing it for pay, you're legitimately fostering these relationships.
Yes, you're fostering lots of relationships. And some of them, like, you definitely, like, have, like, huge connections with them. And that's definitely something that is a blessing and a curse. You know, why would you want to have a bad one who doesn't, you know, connect with you? And especially if you're, engaging in, like, you know, sex, if you're not like in tune with each other, that's kind of sucky. It can be good in that way, but it also can be bad because then it's really easy for either you or the client to catch feelings. So that's another thing that can be bad when it comes to being, you know, emotionally involved.
Has that ever happened either on your end or a client's end?
Yes.
Can you tell us about it?
There is one client who I really, 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 really like. And they really like me. And if they were not in a relationship, I would totally date them.
Ooh, Zara, you getting some mess?
I do not do anything because I am a good person. Like, I try to be. At least I'm a human. I have flaws. But we have that relationship where we talk and we know exactly what this is. And we do adore and love each other. But he has a partner and he loves his partner. And I'm glad he loves his partner. I want him to love his partner and to have that relationship with them. Because that's beautiful. I'm not here to be a homewrecker. I'm here to spend time with you and give you love and affection that you're, you know, you may not be getting at home because you may not have a lot of sex with your partner or you may not be having sex with them at all.
Question. Does his partner know that, well, he is a client of yours?
I don't know, actually. We have strong feelings for each other, but it's not in a way where we totally, like, completely wreck each other's lives, like, to be together, because I already have someone who I'd love to be with and be in a relationship with, and he knows that.
Who is that?
This guy I met, actually, on Tinder.
Wow, there is love on Tinder.
August was the anniversary of the year I've been separated from my long-term boyfriend of 6 years. Yeah.
So you're just getting out into, like, this dating scene.
Yep.
Can we put a pin in that, though? Because I'm curious about the...
In the labor or the dating?
The dating.
Oh, we're going to put a pin in that. All right.
The pin is there. The pin has been placed. All right. So hopping around from labor, I do want to know, like, how much of the persona that you emanate with clients is actually you? Like, the real life story?
Honestly, a lot of it is me. Like, being myself, but being, like, you know, this sexy, cute, goth, big titty girl.
Oh, so you're the goth big titty girlfriend that, or they friend who the internet always speaks of.
Yes.
We found them. Wow. We have, wait, is that the name of the episode? Nice. Okay, perfect. We got it.
So outside of fostering these relationships, managing, you know, boundaries with clients, managing feelings that you may develop or clients may develop, then there's like actual physical labor, like you mentioned, building your Twitter following to what it is today. And I'm sure you didn't just blink overnight and was like, here's all these people that followed me on Twitter. Like, there's actual work in marketing, using social media and dating apps. Can you talk a bit about that?
Well, starting with Twitter, yeah, that did not happen overnight. It took a good 2 years for me to get this far, and it definitely has a lot to do with your presence on the app. And with that, it's just taking daily selfies, saying good morning, engaging with other people, like your fellow sex workers, clients, fans, like anybody, following and liking, like, you know, regular things, like things that you actually like. Say if you're into fashion, like you're liking things like Prada, Chanel, things like that, if you're into that, you know, showing that you're a real person and not a bot, and marketing yourself to who you want to attract.
You know, that reminds me of just like people shit on sex workers all the time, and people also shit on people who like make a living off of their social media, which is what you're doing in addition to doing sex work. And they just kind of like there are whole careers out there, like quote unquote legitimate careers, where you're like working a 9-to-5 where your job is being the social media manager. And like, that's a salaried fucking position, and people like hold that to high esteem, but then shit on other people who are like just doing it themselves. Yeah,
exactly. It doesn't make any fucking sense, because we're doing it ourselves and buying the equipment that we need by ourselves.
Yeah. What kinds of equipment?
If you like to take pictures without a professional camera, say if you don't have one, I use my cell phone and it takes fabulous pictures. So tripods and ring lights, they cost money.
Yeah, for sure. What other kinds of, like, I'm sure there's also expenses in grooming, upkeep, the clothes that you wear.
Oh, yeah, like getting your nails done, getting your feet done. If you like to shave, doing that. If you don't like to shave, like, say, for example, if you don't like to shave your legs, like keeping your leg hair nice, you know, getting your hair done if you have hair. I'm lucky.
Yeah.
I shave my head.
But that's an expense too.
Luckily for me, I shave my head myself.
Well, time is money, and that is labor that you're putting into it. So there.
And I also have to buy my shampoo and conditioner, because I still have to do that. I'm not going to not wash my head. So
yeah. We're glad to hear you say that. And that also, we're going to like hop into like criminalization and like more things about money in a little bit. But that just reminds me of the fact that like those are expenses. And I'm assuming that you can't report this kind of income, so you can't write it off as an expense.
Exactly. Yeah. Unless you're doing OnlyFans, because W9.
Okay, well, we'll talk about OnlyFans in a bit. I want to circle back to your clientele base. What does your client base look like demographic-wise, would you say?
Demographic-wise, I would say it's predominantly white and Hispanic and a little bit of black. But for the most part, it's white men.
Oh, and like age range-wise?
Most of the white men are older than me. Like in their 40s to 50s, which I'm okay with, because I like older men, honestly, a lot more than I like men my age. But that's because personally, men my age don't know how to deal with me. I don't know what it is about me, but they don't know how to treat me with respect. So I can't fuck with them. So I just like older men. But I've always been like that.
They don't treat anybody with respect. To piggyback off of that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And in terms of like, not my white clients, but my Latinx ones, they're the young ones. They're the ones who are younger. Like, my age. Yeah, one of them is my age, and he's actually flying me out.
Nice. It's Friday, nice. We're going to talk about, I actually have a bullet point called getting flued out that we're going to get to in a little bit. How is the age range of the black clients?
They're, like, in their 30s. Like, I have, like, technically two. One is in DC, one is like a Snapchat like Skype client. We haven't met yet, but he's in Florida, but he wants to see me. I think he's just saving up.
All of these people who are your clients, would you say like they're mostly like regulars, like they're paying you multiple times for like multiple occasions, or are there like more one-offs or what?
For the most part, they're spread out in terms of when I see them, because they're all out of state. I do not have one client in LA to call a regular. So I call my regulars the people who I either tour to see or get flown out to see.
And what's going on in LA that's preventing you from having a regular client base or clientele?
Probably because the market here is completely saturated and it's really hard for most girls and people to work here because there's just a lot of us. There's a lot of sex workers here. So it's very competitive, and you also have to be on the big sites to be able to really get any notice, because Twitter is, you know, it's a good site, but it's not big in terms of like people finding you in LA on Twitter for that. Eros, the demon site, is one of the biggest sites to go on to get noticed. And those ads are expensive. They're like $170 to $200 in LA, I think. I don't know if they raised the prices recently. It's been a while since I've had an ad because I'm very much low income and do not have $100 to $200 to spend on ads like that. Yeah, that rules LA in terms of getting money.
That's just another expense that goes into the labor of what you do, right?
Exactly.
What do you think it is about LA that makes it like such a highly saturated place for folks who are sex workers?
I think it's because everybody thinks that they can make it here, honestly, because LA is so huge. But LA is huge, but there's a lot of people. And yeah, they look for a specific type of people, like tall, skinny, blonde, spinner, like things like that, like models. Like, they're very picky and very vain, even though most of them look like sacks of potatoes. I don't understand.
And are you originally from LA, or did you move to LA to like do sex work out there?
Oh, no. I was unfortunately born here.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding. I'm just being very sarcastic. Like, I love LA. Don't get me wrong. I love my city. Yeah. I was born downtown, but...
Oh, that's a cool place to be from.
Because we do have a lot of beautiful things, but we also have a lot of shitty things. So, I'm kind of done with living here.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, this reminds me of something that my aunt always says, but she's always like, small fish, big pond, as opposed to big fish, small pond. Would you consider, like, going to somewhere like West Bumblefuck, wherever, and, like, dominating, you know?
I've thought about it, but I am one of those queers who doesn't drive, and I need a car. And it's not that I don't want to drive. I do. I'm just slightly traumatized from a car accident I was in. So when I'm in the front seat and we stop suddenly, I literally turn my body to the right side and shield myself sometimes. So I'm working on learning how to drive again. I've thought about it, but I definitely want to move somewhere else, like Chicago and Philly on the list.
Are there any clients that are like a no for you, like a type of client where you like, I can't take you on, or I can't do this?
No, but there is one who I adore, but he's not that experienced.
Sexually?
Yeah, he was a virgin. I took his virginity.
Ah, interesting. So it's just like not enjoyable.
Not all the time, no.
Yeah, so how often is sex with clients enjoyable?
Pretty damn enjoyable, for the most part.
Nice.
Yeah, I feel pretty damn lucky with this, with my favorite client, who I will call D for daddy, because that's basically how he is. He's great. Yeah, he's fantastic in bed.
If we can play a quick best city, worst city, what city has like the best clients and what city has like the worst clients?
San Francisco. That was the best. And the worst, honestly, for some of my tours, like, it's been like either a shit show, which means like not really any work at all, or I've been lucky and had a duo with someone, or I had a pre-book. But I think the worst city where I didn't make, I think, any money, Seattle.
I was just like crossing my fingers so you wouldn't say New York. I was like, oh man, I hope.
The first time I went to New York, I only had one date, but it was like 2 hours. I was very happy.
Nice. We are glad to hear that. Phew. And we're going to get more into the terminology of duo and pre-book in a bit. But now on to my favorite topic, getting flued out, because I just fucking love travel and travel stories and travel experiences. So you have the acronym FMTY on your page. Can you tell us what that means and what experiences you've had with that?
That means fly me to you.
Ooh.
And my first experience with that was with the client I'm going to see on Friday.
So they regularly fly you out. Okay.
Yeah, he hasn't flown me out since I think it's been a year now, but he's been going crazy. So he wanted to fly me out. So I was like, okay, I'm fine with this.
Okay. Tell us about the first time he flew you out.
He found me through his regular Twitter because he's a bit of a nerd. He's so cool. He has lots of really cool anime tattoos. He first bought my, I think he bought my Snapchat first. He just, you know, we started talking and he tipped me a lot and we got really close. I will say that he is one of my favorite clients. He flew me out and he sent me the money and I booked the flights in the hotel and it was a really nice hotel. I was very happy. He came and he brought me Chick-fil-A. Yeah. And we wanted to play video games, but the TV, we couldn't hook it up for whatever reason. So we just decided to relax and then, you know, we fucked a lot. It was great. And we just hung out and talked and cuddled and just relaxed with each other. And it was really, really nice. That was my first experience. And although it's not as, you know, fancy as one would seem, like compared to like, you know, other like high-end people, I had a fabulous time. And it doesn't need to be like that all the time or even at all. I got flown out to Texas. Well, this was the guy who was a virgin, and he saved up $6,000 to spend like 2 days with me, and we played Smash Brothers, and he spoiled the shit out of me. He got me an awesome Samus figurine and beautiful posters of Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, because I am a DC nerd, and we were in downtown Dallas at a really nice hotel, and it was magical.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, these are so awesome. This is so cool
to get paid to just hang out with people and fuck.
Yeah. I want I'm so pleased. I want to talk a little bit more about the client base and, like, you know, like, obviously, like, sex is a component of it, but like, they really just like want to chill with people, right?
It sounds like very girlfriend experience kind of thing.
Yeah.
Definitely girlfriend experience is what I offer. Like, definitely. Like, yeah, I'll hang out with you and like play video games or go like on a road trip or, you know, travel together, fall asleep together even.
Oh. And yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about, I guess, like, because you have like a personal brand, right? Like, you're goth, into anime? Am I making that up?
Okay. Anime. I'm a nerd. I'm a huge nerd, like, in terms of, like, all aspects, like, anime, Harry Potter, like, everything.
Well, okay, so I did this on the last episode, but now it's going to happen again, much to Akua's chagrin, but we have to talk about what house you are, so let me know.
I'm a Slytherin.
Yes, bitch! Me too! We getting all these fucking Slytherins on the show? I stand. I'm so happy.
I have been a Slytherin for Snake as long gang, as I gang. Can remember. Gang, gang.
Love it, love it. How do you feel about Gryffindors in general?
One of my best friends is a Gryffindor, actually, and she is a character, but I love her. But for the most part, she doesn't like other Gryffindors either.
Because they're just, like, self-righteous pieces of shit, right?
Right? Yes.
Okay, all right. Just... Akua's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why are they dragging these people? Because they're terrible people.
Exactly.
Yeah, those are really cool experiences. Let's also head into, like, touring, right? So you're about to embark on a fall tour pretty soon. Let us know what that means and what that entails.
That means I am going to go to certain cities to go make money.
Nice.
For fall, because it's daddy season now. All of the children are back at school.
Cool. And what cities are you hitting up this fall?
I am going first to Chicago. I'm going to New York, which I'm really excited about. Where else am I going? I'm going to D.C. I have to look at my own notes.
You got Vegas and San Francisco.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we can see, just for folks who might want to book you, we can see information for that where, on your website or Instagram or...
Oh, you can find that on my Instagram and my Twitter. It'll be up on my website soon. I My computer's been acting up. It just started to work again today.
And in addition to, like, so now that we're talking about, like, seasons, right? Like, is there a particular time of year where you feel like you make the most coin? I feel like we're entering into spooky season. And as a goth, do you feel like folks are looking for their, like, big titty goth they friend? Or?
Oh, yeah. I definitely think that's the case. Because fall is the money-making season.
It's also cuffing season. It's the beginning of cuffing season.
Yes, it's the beginning of cuffing season. That's very true. Oh, God. I have to think about that.
Wait, what do you mean you have to think about that?
Because there's a guy I really like, and we're going to go to Disneyland, hopefully in October, and I want to make him mine, because he's perfect.
Let us know how he's perfect. now we're just prying into your sex, love, and dating.
Now we have to get into the sex, love, and dating life.
He's the one I met on Tinder, and he's 42, which is a perfect age for me, because I'm 24, and... And he's super into Disneyland, like, and I love Disneyland. He's into that. He's into video games. He has a PS4. He's also definitely into the daddy thing, which I am obviously into because I keep saying it. But
so this potential bae, was he ever like in the running as a client? How did you meet?
Oh, no. When we met on Tinder, like, I tend to tell people what I do for, you know, for work, because it's all I do. I don't have a vanilla job because my body can't handle it, and I don't want to.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Yeah, yeah. Me neither.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Anyways, and he is totally okay with what I do for work. Like,
nice.
He thinks it's beautiful. Like, he supports me. He gets excited when I tell him where I'm going to go. Like, he gets excited when I tell him that, you know, oh, I'm doing this with this client. He's like, oh, yeah, like, good.
Does he have a bit of a, is that just him just like, he's like supportive of you, or does he have a bit of a cuckold fetish?
No, he does like the idea of me, you know, having sex with other people, like, because he's a swinger and, yeah, which I'm into.
I see why you're trying to bay him up. I get this. I'm trying to bay him up. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want no smoke with Zuri.
Like, he's poly, and so am I.
Cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
I hope things work out with you two. Okay, now we're going to take a quick break to hear a message from our sponsor this episode. So how do you feel about your current state of mental health? Sometimes we undermine the severity of our mental health state until it starts to affect us in other ways and trickle into other aspects of our lives. This is where one of my favorite services, BetterHelp, comes in. BetterHelp will assess your needs like it did mine and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating with them in under 24 hours. It's not a crisis line or self-help, it's professional counseling done securely online. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor and get timely and thoughtful responses. With BetterHelp, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. Whether you have an irregular schedule like me or might be traveling and on the go very often like our guest today, BetterHelp is perfect for folks who might find it difficult to find the time to fit in traditional therapy into your schedule. I really appreciate being able to forego a lengthy-ass commute to access my counselor, and despite communicating with her over the internet, she actually fosters a safe and open space for me to unpack my issues week after week, and I really appreciate her and the service. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if need be. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. We have a special offer for Inner Ho Uprising listeners, that's y'all, and you can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/IHU. Once more, that's betterhelp.com/IHU, that's better H-E-L-P, and join the over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Now, let's get back to our conversation with Zuri. I want to go a little bit back to close out some questions I had about, like, the labor of sex work. So do you feel like there are, or yeah, obviously there are skills that every type of labor requires skills. What skills do you think you need to engage in this kind of work. So it seems like obviously like the ability to make people feel comfortable and the ability to hold a conversation is like super important for what you do.
Oh yes, definitely being able to hold a conversation, being able to read people and their like emotions, body language definitely helps knowing that, because you never know if something's gonna, you know, go the other way.
Is there also like a particular knowledge base that you feel like you have to keep up with? So like, obviously you're a nerd and you're into particular things, but let's say one of your clients is like really into like, I don't know, the anime, like Hunter x Hunter or something like that, and you don't watch that. Do you like then go and like watch it so that you can talk to them about something or something like that?
Oh yeah, I definitely would do that. And I definitely do that because I want to be able to like, you know, connect with them, like especially if it's their favorite thing. Like I'd be like, yeah, no, I want to see what you're talking about so I can get into it, you know. And even if I don't get into it, I'd love to watch it with you.
So you gotta like research. That's
I love to research.
Me too. I like user.
I like you too.
I'm glad. We are kindred spirits, I feel like. I'm very pleased. And do you ever feel burnt out or exhausted?
Yes, I get very burnt out and exhausted because I travel a lot. Like last year was a doozy. I have to do that to make my money. Otherwise, it's just online stuff, which can be pretty lucrative, but it can get really slow. And the summer was really fucking slow, like really, really, really slow. Like, I love to travel. Travel has always been something I've loved to do and has been one of my passions. And I want to continue to do it and I want to go far. But I need to make money to do that, especially if I want to go, you know, past Canada. I have chronic pain and I cannot be on a plane for 14 hours, not high or in a decent seat. So I'm saving up the money to buy a good seat.
Yeah, that's so true. I wish more like, I love to travel also. And I feel like conversations around travel are so fucking inaccessible. Like we don't talk about that enough. I'm glad that you said that. And so how do you practice self-care to like combat the burnout or exhaustion?
I spend a lot of time with my friends, honestly, when I have burnout. I go to my friend, one of my best friend's houses, and a bunch of my friends come over because that's like the communal house for like all of the gays to come to. We have game night. I also go to the Korean spa with my friends. They're here in LA because that really helps my anxiety and the burnout, because you just get to sit in a beautiful room that's meant to heal you. But if I can't get to the Korean spa, I'm in my room playing video games. That's also a part of my self-care. Is that
that's awesome. Have you ever like, do you Twitch or anything like that?
No, but I want to. I just don't want to do it here because I still live in my family's house.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's totally fine. Yeah. Like,
especially in like a big city, like
it's expensive here.
Can we, well, now that we're on the topic of family, can we talk? It's family and friends. Can we talk a little bit about the intersection of, that sounds weird. I was going to say the intersection of your work and family and friends, but I totally don't mean it like you're. I just mean like, do they know what you do? How do they feel about it? All those kinds of things. What's wrong with me?
You were hilarious. Okay. Excuse me. So all my friends know, and they all don't give a shit.
Nice.
Yeah. They all support me. Some of them even want to get into it, not in terms of like what I do specifically, but other aspects. They all know and they all support me. My whole family knows, like my immediate family. My sisters, I have two older sisters and they don't care. Their initial reaction was shocked, but they accept me and they accept that and they think it's pretty cool. What I do and what I get to do. My mother, however, she says she supports what I do, but she says that she thinks she's, she says she thinks I'm gonna regret it later in life because she's done some things in the past, in her past, that she's regretted. I get that, but I'm not going to regret shit. I have always seen sex work in a light where it's nothing, there's nothing wrong with that, because it has literally been something that's been around before antiquity.
Yeah.
Why is that anybody's business as long as you're not hurting anybody or each other?
Feel free to not answer this. Just out of curiosity, when your mom says that she's done things that she's regretted, has she also engaged in sex work?
That I actually don't know. I've never asked her.
Mm-hmm. So she's just like vaguely referring to...
Yeah, well, this is coming from the woman who also told me at one point, like, which was, I think, was this last year, the year before, that she had done cocaine with her ex-husband for a long period of time before she adopted me and my sister. So I'm like, but you get mad at me for smoking weed, but you were doing crack?
That's the parent thing, right? Like, I used to wild out, but I don't want you wilding out. When I become a parent, I can't wait to be like, I used to wild out. Here's how you do it safely. And I'll love you no matter what.
How did you broach these conversations with your family or with your friends?
I honestly straight up told them, and they supported me, and we had talks about it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm being safe. Like, I do this. Like, I can, you know, give you my location to make sure that they know that, you know, where I am in the event that something happens to me and they need to come get me or they need to call the police.
I love that. It just reminds me of the fact that, like, when things are less stigmatized and they're more talked about, it fosters the safety for the person engaging in it. So, like, if you were stigmatized by your family or friends, you wouldn't have a support system to say, like, oh, I'm going to Georgia on Friday or I'm going to Florida on Friday and this is exactly where I'll be staying, you know?
Exactly. And that's important to have that, because there's nothing wrong with, like, you know, this job. So it's good to have, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm going to work and this is where I'm going, like, you know, like a regular person.
Yeah, exactly. In regards to, like, what you said to your mom, like, I have no, I'm not going to have any regrets about this. And, you know, you don't want to ever engage in vanilla work because it fucking sucks. Do you plan on, like, doing this to sustain you for the rest of your life? And what kinds of things are you going to put in place to ensure that sustainability?
I do think I can see myself doing this for a very long time. But what I also want to do is... I want to basically be like Jordan Peele.
Nice. I don't know what you mean by that, but I'm already like, yeah.
He produces, he directs. I basically want to be that. And I've been super into art and film and music and acting my whole life. I basically want to make my own stories, but also run a strip club and a possible apartment building for marginalized people.
I love all of it. I can't wait to throw my coin at your films,
at your strip club.
Exactly.
All of it.
I am here for all of it. That's so awesome.
So your current work is just for the meantime. How good is the coin sustaining you until you can get to these other projects?
It's been sustaining me for like the last couple of months, like at least 3 to 4, but that's not a lot. And I've been doing this for 2 years now. So
is there a lot of inconsistency?
Yes, there's definitely inconsistency. It's spread out to where I get booked. It's like every other month.
For sure. Can we quickly hop to, well, it doesn't have to be quick, but can we hop to what it's like navigating particular like apps and spaces as a sex worker online? So you mentioned like Snapchat and OnlyFans a lot. I guess we can start with Snap, like premium Snap. So like, how does that work? And what is it about Snapchat that makes it a good space to like conduct your business?
Well, Snapchat makes it really easy to like talk to people and for people to see you. I post about it on Twitter or Instagram, and they come into my DMs and they ask me about it and they ask how to pay. They do that and then I add them. For me, Snapchat is more personal compared to OnlyFans, because for the most part on my Snapchat, I post about my day. I'm in my bedroom in my personal space, or I'm out and about and I talk to you. I interact. I think that's why I like it so much.
Is it a one-time payment for Snapchat or a premium Snap?
For mine, yes. For some, there's monthly subscriptions that other sex workers have. but mine's just $30 lifetime, and it comes with the free nude.
Oh, that's sweet.
So I want a bonus.
And tell us about OnlyFans. How does that work, and what makes it a good place to conduct business?
OnlyFans, you can get tipped on there immediately because there's a tip option. You can upload videos and pictures, multiple ones in like one post. So you can just, you know, scroll through them on one post. That's convenient.
Yeah.
And you can get a lot of fans depending on, you know, how much you keep up with what content you make, especially if you have a social media account. It's good to put up previews and things like that for OnlyFans, because then if you have a big following, there's going to be a shit ton of people seeing your work, and then they're going to go to your OnlyFans and subscribe, especially if you're having promos. So that definitely helps. I'm having one right now, actually. Usually it's $10.99. Right now it's $5.50.
Y'all better get on it if you're listening to this.
And you interested.
Y'all better get on it. So what? Something you said about Snapchat makes you want to go to like payment apps. So you said they ask how do they pay you?
Usually it's through Cash App. Sometimes I accept Amazon gift card, but for the most part I like Cash App because it deposits right into my bank account.
Do you have any experience with the other kinds of apps like Venmo or PayPal or anything like that? And is there ever any issues that you run into on these payment apps?
No, I'm pretty lucky. I haven't had any issues. I only give out my PayPal and my Venmo to like specific people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very rare when I give it out to anybody else, unless it's like an exception.
Gotcha.
Because I like to keep it under wraps, you know, so no one, you know, reports my PayPal.
Exactly. And then you had said OnlyFans, you do have to pay taxes on that income.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather do that than get in trouble.
Yeah, right. Yeah, nobody wants that IRS smoke. So we've talked about Twitter a lot. Do you, what is your social media presence like on other kinds of social media?
Not really big. I only have 1,000 followers on my work Instagram. For the most part, I like Twitter a lot more than Instagram. Instagram shadow bans and also deletes you a lot quicker than Twitter does when it comes to sex work. So I try not to post a lot of stuff on there that would be, you know, incriminated, because they will delete your account very, very fast.
Let us know what you mean when you say shadow bans.
That means no one can see your content.
Yeah, so like when somebody will type in your name on Instagram, for example, it only, like in the search function, it'll only give us your profile until we type your exact name, right? Or if you use hashtags, folks won't even see the fact that you're using hashtags, which is like important when it comes to discovery on Instagram.
Exactly. So it's very, very annoying and detrimental to people who make money on there, because you can make money on Instagram.
But for sure. Yeah.
But also Fossa Sesta, so.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that, and if that has affected your work at all.
That has definitely affected my work, because it has made it a lot harder for me to make money, because Craigslist was the GOAT for a long time. And when they took down the personals, oh my God, I cried.
Can we even take it a step back? We talk about this fairly often on the show, but like for a first-time listener, can you let us know what Fossa Sesta is and what those rulings entailed?
Okay. Fossa Sesta is a bill that was passed that basically took down Backpage, which was a very prominent sex worker site. They took it down because they claimed that it was helping with child sex trafficking in general, which is a total fucking bullshit lie, because the police were working with them to help find victims of sex trafficking. So when they passed that law, it basically made it liable for the people running the sites to, you know, get arrested because, you know, oh, you're condoning, you know, sex trafficking, basically. So they shut down Backpage, they shut down personals on Craigslist, and that's where most sex workers, you know, make their money, is through the personals. It affected many people because it made it harder for us to screen so we can be safe and not, you know, go with people who have bad reviews. because we can't have access to those reviews, blacklists, things like that, that help us stay safe. And so many, many people have died due to this bill passing.
Because they fucking hate sex workers. And for that, we hate them. What are your takes on the decriminalization versus legalization of sex work conversation?
Definitely decrim is what I'm for.
Why so?
Because legalization means the police will be all up in our business. Mm-hmm. It's like with the cannabis industry.
Yeah.
We don't need to have forced health checks. Also, they rape us and can rape us and arrest us. So what the hell makes anybody think that having the police involved with us is going to be a smart thing?
The only world that would exist in where that would be a good idea is like not the society we live in, unfortunately. And just to clarify for folks who might not know what we're talking about, like as it parallels to the cannabis industry, decrim basically means making it not illegal anymore, as opposed to legalization, which would imply that there's some sort of government regulation on sex work.
And you mentioned not wanting to have any forced health checks. How are you keeping up with your sexual health and wellness on your own?
I take myself to Planned Parenthood and clinics every month to get tested. Mm-hmm. And I use condoms, internal condoms, dental dams if they want that. Like, I always get throat swabs and anal swabs. I try to make sure I do that every month.
Want to circle back to duo dates. So what does that entail?
That entails another provider that you're basically sharing a client with, whether it be dinner or just straight up bedroom fun.
And how do you find other providers to do duo dates with?
For the most part, it's Twitter and also word of mouth. Mm-hmm. With like other friends or acquaintances.
Yeah, I kind of went on like a deep dive yesterday of your Twitter, and I saw you like reposting a bunch of other providers' tweets and stuff like that, which then led me to a deep dive of other folks who are reposting other folks. And it seems like you've all fostered like a pretty tight community or like a pretty networked community on Twitter. Can you tell us about that and maybe like the importance of even fostering like these kinds of relationships and community spaces?
Hell yes. Networking is definitely a big part of sex work, and especially in terms of like the escort community. And it's good to retweet people. For example, on a tweet, it could say RTs are appreciated, or RT for RT. Like, if you retweet me, I'll retweet you. And it definitely helps you get noticed, and it gets you clients. It really does. So it's good to have that network, and that's what we all do on there. Is sometimes there's RT groups where we talk, and we also, you know, say like, hey, can someone RT this for me? And then they do it.
I love that. I love things that break down the myth that like helping other people or boosting up other people is somehow going to take away from what you do. Like, that's totally not true. And can you tell us a little bit about like when there are issues? So have there been instances where someone is threatening someone in the community in any way, and like you all like kind of come together to get that person out of the paint?
Oh yeah, there's definitely been instances like that. Like, I won't name them because I don't want to like, you know, delve into that drama, but there's been at least 3 to 4 within the last year on Twitter, especially in terms of like other providers outing people or, you know, scamming people.
When you say outed, what do you mean?
That means someone has gone out of their way to find your real life info and post it on the internet for everybody to see, which is very dangerous because there are crazy people out there, and yeah, Someone could literally fucking murder you. That is the most evil thing someone could do, and there's been instances of that on Twitter, and it's gross.
And on that note, what kind of steps do you go through to ensure your privacy amongst clients and other folks on the internet?
VPNs help.
Okay, what is that?
A VPN is it basically protects you against someone getting into your like internet, like for your phone, laptop. It's a virtual private network.
Mm-hmm.
So it enables users to send and receive data from across shared or public networks. Just reading it off from Google.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But yeah, it's that. And those definitely help. And that's also how you can get around in the dark web, just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that we're condoning that, but yeah, yeah.
That, but just saying.
One more question before we wrap up, unless you have any more questions in addition to the Sakua. But do you have any advice for newbies or folks who are looking to get into sex work?
Yes, I do have some advice. My advice is to be you. Please. Yeah. Like, do not strive to be someone else. Make your own brand. Don't copy people. Please don't do that. It's very tacky. You have a brain. You have talent. You can do it yourself. I did it. You can write your website yourself. You can make it yourself. You can take pictures yourself. Like, if you're starting off, like, bare bones, like I have. And so am occasionally. So, be yourself. And also, trust your judgment. Trust your gut. If something doesn't feel right, trust it and leave as quickly as possible. Just, if you're, you know, one of those out there listening to this who's a witch and you sense things, listen to it.
Yeah, your gut is never going to leave you astray.
Yep, sound advice.
Thank you so much for that advice and for being on this show. Yes. I just feel so happy. I love, love, love talking to you.
I love that I'm talking to you guys, too. You guys are so awesome.
Thank you. Can you let folks know all the places on the social medias and websites where they can find you and give you work? Give Zuri coin. #2019. Yeah.
Yes, give me the coin. You can find me on Twitter at Zuri Love. It's Z-U-R-I-L 0-V-E. They didn't let me have the regular letter because someone else took it.
I hate that.
Me too. And you can also find me on Instagram at Z-U-R-I-I-L-O-V-E. And my website is zurilove.com.
Perfect. And all of that will be in the description for this episode. Zuri, thank you so much. We cannot iterate enough how much we appreciate you.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I had such a blast talking to you guys. Seriously, you guys are the best.
Okay, that was a lovely interview.
That was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, first it was people from Philly, but now it's Slytherins, I gotta say.
It's the people out west, because
it's Harry Potter fans and Slytherins.
Veronica was out west too, so.
Oh, the people west, out west.
Our west coast people.
Oh,
trends. Doing the damn thing.
We appreciate the trends. Yeah, that was really good. Definitely give Zuri your coin if hiring escorts is your bag.
So if you guys would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Idaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Idaho Uprising on Instagram with the G, and Facebook. You go to InahoUprising.com to pay a hoe, check out our merch. You guys can follow me at Hey A Cool Girl, HeyAKuAGirl, on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can also go to our Facebook community, which is actually just called Idaho Uprising Community with the C-U-M. The link for that is also in the description of this episode. Rodeca moderates it, and it's really fun. And you can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen San Diego on Instagram. I'm leaving the country in a couple of days after you're hearing this, so will I post those pictures there? Eventually. You'll see it one day. You should just preemptively follow me on that. Bye.
Bye.